We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Tax season is upon us. If you've got any friends who are CPAs, you know you're working their fingers to the bone. You never get to see them
right now,
this time of the year. And Yvonne Bruno from Bruno and Associates in Bloomfield is with us. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you.
Good to have you here.
Now, this isn't the calm before the storm for you. Once January comes around, you people start cracking.
We do. For the most part, January is just 1099s and W-2s for corporate stuff.
Right,
because tax season doesn't really open with the IRS until the end of January.
Okay.
What happens if your fiscal year is through July? I mean, your year end, but you're still using the calendar year, correct? The IRS does.
No, if you have a fiscal year, if you're a business,
definitely
that particular, as far as the due date of the tax return, depending on what type of a business it is, it's either 2.5 months or 3.5 months.
Are you playing? Is this if you pay quarterly or no? It's a whole different world, right?
As far as estimated payments?
Yeah.
Estimated payments are usually done by taxpayers that either have their own businesses or have a lot of income that, you know, if you're that your W-2 isn't going to take care of.
What if you're self-employed?
Wow, if you're self-employed, that big changes this year.
Is it? What's the most significant?
How so?
What's the most significant change, Yvonne?
The two most significant changes if you're self-employed are actually the what's called the new qualified business income deduction, or some people call it the 199A deduction. And what it is, is if you're self-employed and you have income at the end of the year, you are eligible. Whether or not you'll get it is subject to other things, but you're eligible for a 20% deduction off of your tax return. That took into effect this year. In addition to that, there's been a lot of changes with respect to depreciation.
Let me ask you this. When all these new tax laws come out, how much education, training, reinventing the wheel do you have to do or CPAs have to do to become familiar with
everything? Thank God you're here, by the way.
Thank you. Well, probably the last really big tax change in comparison to this year was the 1986 Tax Act.
Right.
That's where consumer interest got phased.
Yeah, and
down.
That's when passive activity losses came around.
And the REITs, they beat the heck out of those.
Yeah. And but this is probably definitely one of the bigger ones.
So how long did it take you to get up to speed on this?
We've had several seminars.
Okay.
I mean, as a CPA, you're required to take 40 hours of continuing education on an annual basis.
Is that state or is that federal?
No, it does vary state by state, but in general, that's pretty close to, you know.
Does the IRS ask you then to do that?
No.
No, okay.
The IRS asks if you're an enrolled agent.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Then they're subject to their own education requirements.
By the way, if in fact you'll hear these ads that we run, you know, we'll come and if you owe $10,000 in taxes, we'll help you. But I've heard it's far better to get an enrolled agent to work with it.
It depends on the situation.
I'm not asking you to knock an advertiser. I'm just saying. I had somebody tell me that, and you're better off doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've got to read this first, and then we're going to talk to you. And then we can talk about capital gains and stuff.
Yeah, and if the listeners have questions, they can call.
You certainly may.
860-522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC.
And Joe, you want to do the honors, reintroduce our guest?
Yeah, Yvonne Bruno from Bruno & Associates, CPA in Bloomfield, is with us for the entire hour to talk about the new tax laws and how they're going to affect you. And if you've got tax questions for Yvonne, she's not going to do your return for you
whatever.
Over the air. Yeah, 860-522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC. And we were talking during the break on how people who have some self-employment, because if they don't have anything taken out, let's say, oh, I don't know, they work as DJs, you know, for like weddings and stuff. And, yeah, anybody you know like that, Matt? But they could get hit even more. But you said not necessarily.
Well, self-employed individuals are usually subject to estimated payments because right. whatever they have taken out as a W-2 employee right. usually isn't enough to cover their tax. So one of the things that this new law did was to try to make that a little bit less a little bit more palatable. And so if you have a Schedule C business and you have income, let's say $100,000 at the end of the year, you're eligible for a new 20% deduction.
So now it's $80,000.
So what would happen is, let's say your taxable income at the end, went after all your deductions and everything, come up to, $150,000.
Okay.
And of that $150,000, $100,000 of it is Schedule C income.
Okay.
Right. You know, small business.
Thanks.
So 20% of that number, or $20,000,
right.
would reduce that $150,000 taxable income down to $130,000.
All right, and then you pay tax on
and
that.
And then you would pay tax
at
on
the normal rate.
Right.
Whatever
at
that
the normal
be.
Rate.
Oh, there you go, Joe.
They did that to try to combat, to try to offset the fact that they lowered the corporate income tax rates tremendously.
How far did they lower those?
You know,
he's telling us a secret.
No, I have to. Yeah, because
right. You didn't know there'd be a test here.
I didn't know there'd be a test, and when we originally talked, we talked about individuals, so I didn't.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
So I'm kind of like in the individual mode. I'm not really.
All right,
in the
that's fine.
We'll get you back in there too. Don't worry about it.
So it happens when you talk to our producer and he doesn't tell us what you talked about. That's the
that's the issue. You get an idea.
That's the issue with that.
It's kind of. I mean, did you get all that though, Matt? I just don't want to see you go away. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they'll garnish your wages and stuff.
No, ugly. Solid information.
Yep, you should better be writing this down because we're going to ask you questions.
One thing
later.
That is happening, Yvonne, and I'm hearing this. We have somebody that comes in every Monday from CBS, Jill Schlesinger, and a lot of people, and you're hearing a lot of news stories on this, where people are getting smaller refunds.
That is true.
And there's a reason for that, though.
Yes, I mean the a lot of taxpayers kind of have a look at their income taxes as to how much they're going to either owe or get a refund.
Or look at a savings account.
Yeah, at the end of the
year.
Crazy,
but
I did listen to a little bit of that report yesterday.
Yeah.
And there's tons of news about it, you know.
Being bad.
Yeah, being bad.
Well, hold it.
And so because what happened was as a result of this new tax law,
right.
the withholding rates actually dropped. Sometime, I want to say February, March.
Okay.
And so one of the things that we tried to do when we did everybody's tax returns last mm-hmm. year, and I probably didn't hit everybody, was basically say to them, look at your withholding. You know, mid-year, look at how much you've had withheld. Based on last year and using the new income tax rates, you know, you're going to need to have this much withheld. And if you don't have that number,
you're going to be paying.
You're going to be paying. And so
is there a penalty on that, by the way, for being under those? What is it, 10%?
It's not 10%. It basically it's a calculation that basically looks at how long the underpayment has been there.
Okay.
Do enough people pay quarterly? Are people kind of like lax on that? People who should be paying quarterly?
Most people do because, you know, otherwise you have to come up with a big chunk of money.
Right. <year. laughs>
And so what happened was a lot of these people now all of a sudden have another $10 a week or $20 a week.
But you don't notice it.
And you don't notice that, right. especially now in the days of, oh, everything's automatically deposited into my bank account.
Right.
Who's going to look to see, you know, who's going to notice another $20?
And at the end of the year,
but at the end of the year, $20,
right.
yeah, you know, if you're paid weekly, is a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
I think we've got a break.
Yeah, Yvonne Bruno's with us from Bruno and Associates. We'll take your calls. On individual tax issues, Yvonne will stay with us right up until 9 o'clock today. Personal income tax and the like. She's from her CPA firm in Bloomfield. Let's take a break. It's 8:28.
We love Yvonne Bruno from Bruno and Associates.
Yeah, she's been sitting here taking
Bloomfield.
This all in.
Sorry.
That's all right.
So How late do you work at this time of the year? I mean, I have friends who are CPAs, like I said, who, like, they have no social life at this point of the year.
This time of the year, our standard hours start at 8 and end at 6 on Monday through Friday.
That's not awful.
And then we're 8 to 1 on Saturday. Those are our business hours.
Yeah, but.
Right, but you're there later than 6 o'clock.
Traditionally, this time of year, I'm usually there until about 7.
Okay.
And then maybe until 2 or 3 on Saturday.
Yes. So you're there later.
Around March 1st or so,
yeah,
we start working a lot longer.
Well, I'm glad we got you in here then.
Hey, before we take a break, let me ask you this quickly. If we have another government shutdown on Friday, which could happen, how does that affect people getting their returns back?
Oh, good question.
The last government shutdown, I believe the government said it's not going to affect it at all. That refunds were still going to come.
Now.
Yeah, that refunds were still going to come. That, you know, everything, all IRS returns were still going to get processed. We have not experienced any delay in sending stuff out for electronic filing and getting things back.
Okay.
But we have seen that the refunds are tending to come a little bit slower because I think they're just getting bombarded.
Before we take a break, how many people e-file?
Oh, almost everybody.
Really?
Now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Joe, we do have a call, and we'll get to that after.
Yeah, we'll get to that after we go
Mitch,
to
hold
commercial.
On, buddy. Don't go anywhere. Save 45. So. All right. We have Yvonne here, Yvonne Bruno from Bruno & Associates. By the way, you have a website, and a very good one, I might add.
We do. It's it's BrunoAndAssociates.com.
Okay.
It's
that's easy.
Yeah. It's BrunoAssociallc.com.
Limited Liability Corporation, that's what you are. Yeah, but anyway, you do have some stuff, I mean, for the individual that's filing and a few business answers there, too.
Right.
So there you are. All right, do you want to get a call here, Joe?
Let's go to Mitch in New Britain. Mitch, you're on with Yvonne Bruno.
Hi.
Hi, Mitch.
Hi. I bought a three-unit building in 1987, and I'm sure it got fully depreciated, but now I just sold it. So for half of what I paid for it. Would I be still subject to capital gains?
Basically, what happened, if you bought it in 1987, the depreciation rules that were in effect at that time, you probably have fully depreciated the building. So there is going to be a gain on it because your adjusted basis now is effectively zero.
So you got to take the depreciation and write that off.
Right.
And so therefore you've already gotten a little bit of a break.
Right.
And now the capital gains are going to nail you.
Right.
Well, at a certain degree. Hey, Mitch, what did you get when you sold the places without getting too personal?
You mean dollar wise?
Dollar wise. Dollar wise.
$115.
Okay. Is there a ceiling on this?
There's no ceiling. I mean, basically what happens is you have to kind of run through the calculation, and any gain is usually capped at it's a 25% gain for real estate that's been depreciated, and then anything over and above what you've paid for it.
Okay.
So let's say you paid $250 for it and you sold it for $300, then that extra $50,000 would be subject to regular capital gains rates. The other is subject to a higher capital gains rates of a maximum of 25%.
Mitch, they get you, buddy. They're going to get you.
Because you got the deduction all those years going forward. So basically now, you know, your basis in the property is zero. So they're going to look at, you know, calculation of a gain based on that. Now, with that said, any selling expenses or anything like that or fix-up expenses to get the house ready for sale, those are all going to be offset, you know, against the ultimate price that you got for the property.
Mitch,
it's not all bad news.
Yeah, it's not terrible. But, Mitch, you okay with that?
Yeah, I spent many thousands of dollars last year getting it ready for sale. Would it be a benefit to...
What do you think?
Count those as an expense for last year and keep it for this year because it closed in this year and use that against the money I owe?
I think one of the things that you need to do is talk to whoever it is that prepares your tax return, because there's certain types of fix-up expenses that definitely qualify as fix-up expenses rather than expenses.
That's the question
that you're asking. So, and then it also depends on what your like if you were able to take all those losses on an ongoing basis, or if any of them were carried over because of whatever the rest of your income looks like. So definitely this is something that you need to talk to your tax person about this year, so that you know next year when you go to file exactly what your tax liability is going to be with respect to this sale.
Mitch, all right, Mitch, thanks for the call.
Really appreciate it, buddy.
Let's go to Mike in Farmington. Mike, you're on with Yvonne Bruno at 854.
Good morning.
What's happening,
Good morning.
Mike?
I have a question. I've inherited a couple things, and one of them is a lot of 1099 DIBs. My question is, where do I put these figures in terms of box one is total ordinary dividends. 1B is qualified dividends. Where on this new form line would I put those on?
How are you preparing your tax return? Are you using a tax preparer, or are you using TurboTax, or are you just doing it by hand?
I'm using a pen.
Oh, God.
In my mind.
Oh, Lord.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I know it.
What is
probably
wrong with you,
man? The best advice that I can give you right now is to go see someone.
Yeah, I hate to tell you.
Because the tax forms have totally changed. They used, you know, the standard.
Oh, they did?
Yes, the standard form used to be a two-page form with supplemental schedules. That standard form is now a six-page form. In the interest of tax simplification, however, the six-page forms, there's only half of a page on each form.
Really?
So because the goal is to make it look like
there's
a postcard,
less.
Even though it's not a postcard.
Well, that was the dream. Phil Graham, that was a dream of his.
Yeah.
Just fill in a postcard and send it in. And
because of some of the changes, and qualified dividends are taxed different than ordinary dividends, and you want to make sure that you get the most benefit out of filling out the tax form that you can. I would suggest checking with someone.
Okay, Mike,
let's try to squeeze in one more call. Pat in New Britain. Pat, you're on with Yvonne Bruno.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. What's up?
I'm getting information, two different pieces of information. I've had high medical costs over the year. Is it still 7.5% or is it 10%?
Actually, this year it's 7.5.
Okay. Anyone goes through an exercise and futility for 10%.
So no, they actually did lower the limitation from 10% to 7.5%.
Okay, that this year. Is that subject to change in is it apt to change in the near future?
It is going to go back up to 10, I believe, in 19. But definitely for 2018, it's 7.5.
All right. Hey, Pat, thanks for your call.
Pat, thanks for the call. We're going to go, but thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
It's kind of fun.
This is good. Glad you could parcel out some information and let people know that even though we've got some new taxes and stuff, it's still not impossible to get your returns done and get them done well.
I still like Mike doing it by hand. Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good for Mike.
Mike's old school.
Like to see those babies. Thanks, Yvonne. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yvonne Bruno from Bruno & Associates in Bloomfield.
All right, 850's up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.